Welcome again with another episode of Templarist Talks, and this is number 9. We took a couple days extra.
Yes, welcome.
After the long episode about Inferno, which I saw you guys all really liked, so yay.
Nice.
We'll have some more to talk about festivals this year, so expect some more of that. But let's start today with telling what we have been doing. And for me, that was a lot of editing and sleep catch up. But Elvira, you have been to a festival?
Yes, I've been to an indoor festival with a lot of trash metal. Not my favorite genre, but there were two bands that I did like. So I thought, why not? Let's check it out. Let's see if there's anything cool. So I went to, it was called Welcome to Hell. It had a good mix of starting bands, little more known bands, and quite known bands. Instead of running and naming them all, I quite liked, let's see, I think I liked Battle Creek quite a lot. I liked High Command. They both played small stage. And then there was Cryptos from India.
Yeah, we've seen them last year also.
Yeah.
Pretty nice.
Yeah, we've seen them in the sunshine. But I don't know. I would probably say something really wrong here. But to me, I have to think about Kiss on Styriads mixed with a very trash metal sound. I don't know if they're going to be happy when I say that, but to me, they bring some sort of nice, they're not about show, but still they're putting down a show, like how they play their guitars, the faces they pull, I know if you imagine them in the full costume, they will be like Kiss, and they walk around like they own the place. And
they seem like super enthusiastic.
Yes, with a good dose of thrash metal, they go. Yeah, no, it's fun. So they were good. I liked also Gamma Bomb.
Oh wow, that's been a long time.
Or Gamma Bomb. Yes.
Was that one of the Loud from the South bands that we've seen back in the days? I think so.
Ah, Loud from the South, that was something.
Yeah.
I can't remember if they were there.
I think so.
Huh. And that was the Dutch, one of the openers on the main stage was Headless Hunter.
Okay. Yeah, I heard of them.
That's a Dutch band. They also played at Roosendaal Open Air. I saw them first time there. I think they're young guys, but they bring their all. And I think we will see a lot more of them. For me, the most fun band was Angelus Apatrida.
Ah, not a surprise.
Not a surprise, no. Yeah, they played a great, fantastic show. And then there was Insanity Alert. They have a to me it came across like Hyderosius, but then Insanity Alert. So yeah, they remind me of Hyderosius, but then on steroids. It's the way the singer addresses like political stuff, jokes around, and also the you know, the lyrics are sometimes quite easy, but still effective, and you can shout along. So that's, they were fun too, but not my cup of tea, so to say. And then the last band, the headliner was Midnight.
Yeah. Oh, I really liked them. Yeah, I do.
Well, they were fun, but I don't know. Like I said, I don't think I'm really into thrash metal. I was thinking when I drove home that actually Into the Void, I actually quite liked a little bit better.
Mm. Yeah.
But, you know, there were some cool bands nonetheless. And sometimes you have to broaden your scope of music, right?
Yeah, so true. And I think...
it was fun.
Yeah.
It was a good mix of various bands. It was not that crowded. That was a little bit sad.
Yeah.
Because I think it was... But it was one of the first 20-degree days,
yes,
you know?
Oh, yes, that doesn't help. And also, I think this was the first
that
edition of this festival, right?
Not a
already
second.
Already second? Ah, okay.
Second, yes.
Okay, nice. But sad that not it wasn't fully sold out, though.
No, I was sad. But I mean, the vibe was great. The people who were there were nice. We all had a good time, so...
Good.
And I think actually some of the bands were also walking around the venue and partying with the other bands, listening to the other bands. It's one of the things that I quite like when you have a little bit smaller festival,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's true.
So you're watching a band and then you look next to you and you see one of the... Like, wait, did he just play... Oh.
Yeah.
It's fun.
That's cool.
Yep, so that was my... musical endeavor the last weeks.
Cool. Well, as I said, yes. I didn't see any shows since Inferno yet. I will be seeing two shows before the next episode. Progressive metal, and then there's a little festival that I'm probably gonna attend in Willemijn Arnhem. It's Willemsfest. And that's a free festival where people can just walk in and enjoy their King's Day, as we call it in the Netherlands. So I'll be probably be there. I'm not sure if I will be there from the beginning. It depends what is kind of the running order, because I don't think they published that yet. And
I saw it.
Maybe
on the Facebook page.
Cool.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool.
It starts quite early.
Yeah, 2:00. But the thing is, there's one band that I really liked. It's called Mouflon.
The last Mouflon. One.
And
oh, no.
I am really curious to see them again. I've seen them a couple times already. I think they're from Rotterdam or something. I don't know, at least from the Netherlands. Hmm. And I think they're really cool, a bit doomish, deathish. Interesting enough.
I think there was also, maybe it was Autark?
No, that was last year.
Oh, a Monolith Death.
Yeah, that was last year. Oh. I was there last year, indeed.
Then they have the running order from last year on the Facebook page coming at the top.
Yeah, that's very smart. No, usually they post it up a couple days before, so it's okay. We'll see about that back then. But then I have been preparing a little bit for other festivals that are a bit more larger and outdoors. And the one I am going to talk a bit about is Dark Troll Festival in Germany. And they are about 5 hours away from where I live, so it's a bit of a drive. But
yes.
I really liked their lineup this year. I think day one, it's December Noir, that's kind of attracted me. I have seen that band before, but it's been, I think, quite some time. So I'm curious. The second day is interesting. There's Jord from Sweden, and we've written about the albums he makes a couple times. Yeah, it's a bit like Alcest kind of black metal, so it just has a lot of atmosphere, but still enough for Hammonds to go completely crazy. I like that.
I know.
And then there's one act that I'm a bit controversial about, and that's Vermilia. Yeah, I'm just going to talk about it anyway, because I saw her in Tuska last year, was it? It was in the small stage. I went in there. I was looking forward. The stage was all very dressed up, like atmospherically. Some, I don't know, leaves. And then the female that's behind Vermilia, I don't remember her name. She was like all having the face painted. And it all looked very good until she opened her mouth. There was a lot of off tune there, and it hurt my ears so much. And
well, you're used to, well, not used anymore, but you were used to me singing in the car, so that
I don't know. I think the thing is, the place was completely crowded. At some point, I was making a bit faces of hurt. And there were some guys next to me. They were like, what's going on? And I'm like, yeah, don't you hear it? And they were like, yeah, but she has tits. That's literally what they said. And I was like looking around, realizing there were pretty much only guys watching her. I was like, aha. Oui.
But maybe she will. She had a bad day, and maybe she will do better at your
maybe
festival.
It is a sound issue that she had with her in-ears were wrong or something. Because I cannot imagine that if you have all this stage and all this preparation done, that you're completely off tune all the time. Like, something must have been wrong. But
someone must have told you by then.
Well, on the other hand, we had this story about this DJ at Coachella last week that apparently didn't know shit about what she was doing. So you never know. You can get really far by fake it till you make it. But in the end, I mean, I see she's doing a lot of touring around. I saw her on a schedule from some Belgium shows, festivals even. But still, that comment of these guys around me being like, like basically shrugging about the sound and saying, yeah, she has tits. I was like, oh my god, is this, no, that's so wrong. Like,
yes, I know, we all know sex sells, but you know, I think when it comes to music, it doesn't help if it's the only thing that's there. So if she get books and if she...
I mean, good for her.
You know, maybe she did have a bad day.
Good for her that she has all this attention.
Let's hope. Let's hope she will blow you away next
time.
Yeah, I hope
so. I mean, it's good for her that she got all this attention and everything. But let's hope this will be a better impression. And that's why I make myself go there. Because I cannot believe that it was that. And I want evidence that it was something else rather than her being like that. So yeah, I'm gonna give it a try, and I don't wanna have this bad taste in my mouth with guys going there for the looks only. I mean, come on, guys. There's if you're doing that, you're not a music fan. Then on the other hand, there's Graveworm. And I think they've been quiet for something like 6 years or something. I haven't heard much about them for a very long time. So I'm looking really forward to see them. Midnight Odyssey, I had listened to some of the sounds in the past. I never saw it live, I think. Not sure. So yeah, curious. And then Einherjo, I really like the releases that they did. And And The Last Day has also some really good bands. I think it's Sylvain that's probably gonna attract a lot of interest. The album is going to be out in June, so I'm hoping, I think, if I remember correctly at least. I think she will be playing some of that. Looking forward to see a bit about that, because I haven't decided whether I will be picking up the album for reviewing or not. Finsterfirst is playing quite late. I like the album. I think someone else in the crew has been reviewing that album. That's cool. I'm gonna be interested in that. And the headliner, Wolves in the Throne Room. And that sucks for me because I really want to see them. And they play last. And after that, I have to drive home for 5 hours. So
5 hours. Yeah.
I have to stay till like after midnight, long after midnight to see the whole set. So, no, joking aside, it's a good lineup. It's going to be a really interesting. I heard from one of our crew members who was at the festival before that it has a very relaxed atmosphere. And I'm curious. So that's what is going to be ahead of us soon.
Well, I have something coming up on Wednesday.
Cool.
Yes, I will be go see the Estonian Metsatol.
Ah, cool. Yeah.
The folk metal. Yeah. And they play with the Finnish melodic death band, Suotana. I think I've seen them long, long time ago, but I'm not quite sure. The name does ring a bell. And then the headliner is Fintroll.
Yay, Fintroll!
So I will have a a good Hoompa metal party.
I mean, they rocked their set.
So I'm really looking forward.
They rocked their set Inferno, so they must be a really good show.
Yes. I hope.
And I'm curious whether the fans in the Netherlands are doing the ear thing.
No. Well, maybe a few girls.
Yeah, we'll see, I guess. But so that's... Yeah, furthermore, it's... I don't know yet what I'm going to be doing.
Me neither. The next one I have coming up is actually, I think, a festival in Belgium.
Ah, yeah. So that's something...
Durbuy.
Yeah. Something to see for the next episode a little bit, I guess.
Probably, yes.
But hey, that's cool. Then let's see what did I have? Oh yeah, I have this interesting... point I want to discuss, because I noticed last episode we talked a bit about bands doing different revenue streams and such.
Yes.
And then I was thinking, I've seen a lot of these bands doing these kind of, I don't know, merch that is maybe a bit atypical.
Over the top.
Atypical. Mm. Like, I've seen literally bands doing, more and more bands bringing out coffee or tea with their logo on it. I don't really know how to feel about that. And I think I actually joked about one band that I really liked in the past. Like, yeah, that guy is milking it by bringing out all this kind of stuff. He should probably put his logo on a milk carton or something like that. Well... not exactly this band who did that, but another band from the same country put their band logo on a milk carton, for real. I found it when I was walking in the supermarket in Finland, and I was like, guys, come on. Yeah.
I can understand, somehow I can understand the coffee, you know, if you're a metalhead, you go to parties late, you need coffee in the morning. You know, but I have seen stranger... Okay, the milk carton is a bit strange. I also seen a lot of bands selling their own type of beer.
Yeah, true. A lot of alcohol.
They team up with a beer brewery or even like gin mixed with something. But, and you know, we've seen hoodies, t-shirts... beanies and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But shoes,
yeah,
never. But last time I saw a pillowcase.
Yeah, that's makes sense. I usually make them myself from old t-shirts, but gotta have some second sourcing for that in this circular economy. But no, my point is more like, for me to be interested in this kind of merchandise endeavors.
Merch.
I kind of want to see what is the relationship between the item and the band. Like, if you have some coffee or wine or whatever that you're going to make, I want to see at least you some stories, like, or some pictures where you go tasting, testing the mix, testing the blend, how you designed the label or whatever. If I'm just gonna be finding it on a website with your logo on it, I think, yeah, you can just go and find some importer and ask them to put your label on it. No, that's not gonna make me interested in your product. I want to see that you have some engagement with it before you bring it out on the market. And that's what's missing in so many of these cases, that it bothers me. I think just putting your logo on it is kind of, yeah, milking it in a way. But if you're like an artist who's like passionate about wine, like there's some black metal artist doing that, then you show a lot of pictures of you going to these grape the vineyards and such, and like tasting, and then I can understand it's your passion, and what I'm getting is a product that you approved.
Yeah, and that you like, and that you're really interested enough, and not, like you said, you know, like, your record company comes up with, hey, we've got an idea, let's put a stamp it on and let's sell it.
Yeah.
And I can understand because when I look at myself, you know, I used to work in a venue. I used to have a closet full of merchandise, from t-shirts to hoodies to, you know, from bands I, well, didn't like to bands I really liked. I could wear, I think I could wear like 2 months dressed in merch, a different kind of merch. And right now I only have two things, I believe, one t-shirt and one hoodie. So when I'm at a venue right now and I might check out the merch table and think, you know, do I really need it? Do I want it? And sometimes there is something like a coffee mug or a little bag or other stuff than the usual suspects.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think, well, you know, I like it when they offer a little bit different things. But it, like you say, there should be some... well, of course, not in a linen bag. There's not evolvement. but when they... But when they start to sell coffee or other weird things, it should not be just a marketing thing. But you know,
yeah, it could be a marketing thing, but then at least do it properly, and that's not just putting your label on it and put it in your merch shop, knowing that your fans will buy anything that has your logo on it. I even think it's a bit disrespectful to your fans to do it that way, to just milking them like that. But maybe that's just me thinking about that. I just wonder what kind of merch do I want to see from a band that I haven't seen too much around. Yeah, really hard.
Well, I'm like, when I go buy merch, I'm also not the easiest person because I don't want a very large logo on it.
No.
I don't want, well, I like to not wear, skulls on it. Just because when I buy a hoodie, I like to wear it everywhere. And I know you don't have to think about, you know, it doesn't matter if you wear a skull somewhere, but still for me,
they're
a little bit more professional, and I don't like a certain type of prints, like when the print is laying on the fabric. I'm really difficult person when it comes to merchandise these days.
I just want proper quality. Like if you come with those cheapskate t-shirts that's gonna have the like see-through fabric, then no, I'm not gonna like buy that.
Yeah, but what I mean with the print is when you have these kind of prints that lay on top of the fabric, and then when you put it in the laundry, after 3 times, you see cracks coming into the print. That's what I don't like.
I understand. But then, I think I like it, for example, when a band also works with the team of what they're doing. I mean, we all know there's all this pirate metal going on at the moment. I mean, in the Netherlands, we even have this big... pirate metal festival coming up. Both pirate metal bands only. I mean, I think if they do something pirate themed or something, like, I don't know, maybe they put like a little boat in a bottle or something and have their logos on it, that would be something I like.
That's fitting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, but that's fitting to what they're doing and their type of music and their brand.
Yeah, exactly. Or like a Viking metal band that comes with a drinking horn. That kind of stuff I really appreciate if a band does it. Because that's proper branding.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I just don't... I just want to see a band to put a little bit effort in if they want me to buy it. And I don't need to see how you make your t-shirt or sewing them or something. That's ridiculous. But, you know, if you... just bring out some random stuff with your logo on it. It needs to have some relation to the band.
Yes.
Good.
Well, we agree on that.
Yeah, we agree on that. Both of us have been super busy. So for this week, we haven't been able to find a bassist yet. So that will be for the next episodes. And we'll definitely make it up for all your bassist loving people out there.
Yes, I'm working on some cool names, but they have to come to.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, we're gonna do something nice for the people listening, so yes. it's okay.
Yeah, we have cool things in the pipeline. Yeah,
then I think the next thing to discuss is our ikigai. What makes us happy this week?
No.
What?
We have a CD.
Oh, that's for that. Oh, you want to talk? Oh, wait, we did have a CD. I completely forgot about that one. Because it's probably more your thing than it is mine, I think.
Not sure.
Okay, we chose. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Slower.
Tell me about Slower.
Well, the thing is, you're quite right when you say it's more my thing, because it has a like stoner underlaying slow guitar and bass sound. And that's also the part that I really, really like. But anyway, the Slower project. Because the thing is, they play Slayer songs.
Yes, Slayer.
But then really, 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 really slow. And low.
Yeah.
And I think it started out with the one guy from Fu Manchu. I think he was teaching someone and then they played it really, really slow. And then he thought, well, maybe there's something about this. And then he found other people and they in the end, they recorded it. I think there are a couple of songs on the...
Album, five.
Yes, because South of Heaven is a very long one, because if you play them slower, they become even longer.
Yep.
And personally, I'm not a Slayer fan.
Call myself a fan, no, but yeah, I mean, I always like their shows in a way. They're loud. But yeah. To be honest, I prefer it faster rather than slower.
Yeah, well, that we could have imagined. Yeah. I could have told you that before you were going to listen. Because like I said, I think that the lower and the bass sound is more my thing. The thing that... while listening to the album... like I said, I'm not a big Slayer fan, so I don't know all the lyrics of these songs. And I think the vocals are done by two females.
Hmm.
Or one. And somewhere along the line, I drift off.
The thing is, I heard about the project and just put it on the first time. And I wasn't aware that there was going to be a female involved for the vocals.
Mm-hmm.
And I really... thought it was fitting there for the slower attention span. I don't know. It's I like the vocals in there.
Well, I like it that they picked a female, because it's, you know, it's something different. And then when you also take a male, maybe.
Yeah, you're gonna like compare too much, I think, in your head.
Yeah, so I like the approach of asking a female, and it sounds good.
Yeah, she really does it well.
Yeah, but I drift off. It's I don't know. Maybe I haven't listened enough times to it. Sometimes you need to, you know, how do you say that?
Grow into it a bit.
Let it brew, grow into it.
Yeah,
because maybe my head. Drifts off to the sound, the musical sound, and not the vocals. And then I don't know, but I think it's a really it's a fun project. I mean, I'm not sure if they was meant as a type of really serious. We want to conquer the world with this. I think it was really a fun project.
Yeah, I think so too.
For people to work on. They have a love for things slow. They have a love for Slayer, probably. Otherwise, you won't do it. And then I think it became something really fun, and I think a lot of people will like it. It's you know, if you cover, it's not a cover in the direct way. It's their own spin on it. And I quite like that.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting release that many may not have seen coming, and it directs a different audience than the typical Slayer audience. So yeah, I think it's a good project to diversify the sound of Slayer.
If you see the names who worked on it, there's like guys from Monolord, Lowrider, Fu Manchu, Monolord, Caius. You know, it's not the first one to pick up a guitar or something. No. So, but they're all from a little bit of a different genre. So I think it's really cool. Yeah.
Okay, well, I've nothing else to mention on Slower. Now we can go to the Ikigai.
Yes, you can.
I've always your heart out about the positive things, so I like to talk about things that make me happy. And I think maybe people already noticed, but going to the Dark Troll Festival makes me happy this week. I just had contact with the organization, and 20 minutes later, everything was arranged. So, perfect.
So that's nice.
Always going so smoothly, I would be happy with that also. Like, yeah. And now the sun is coming a bit more. You can start seeing spring being around the corner. So, a lot more festivals. So, yes, that's hopefully bringing up my week. What's your light on this week?
My light on these two last weeks?
No.
Nothing. No, I don't... No. Well, I had the festival that was really fun, but it was it was one of the first lovely 20 degrees days, and I was inside a dark venue all day, so... but it does make me look forward to the festival season coming up.
Spring. Spring makes people happy.
So I am looking forward to the festival season that is coming up, because I do like festivals, but I also really do like it when it's not raining. Although sometimes, you know, it brings a bond of brotherliness with it when you're all standing in the rain waiting for a band. But I'm getting older and I quite enjoy lovely weather. Also in the evening when it's, you know, when you've been out all day and it gets evening, it's get late, you get tired, you get cold and you need to put a t-shirt and a sweater and a hoodie and a coat and maybe a raincoat. Yeah. And I just like it when it's nice weather and you can just throw on your hoodie and you're done.
Yeah, also saves you a lot of effort dragging all that stuff along all day.
Exactly.
But then again, if you mishapped in your planning abilities on what to bring, there's always the merch stand.
Merch stand, yes.
We do.
And they
need
might sell more things than just
we
maybe
do need
they
hoodies
sell
in the end anyway.
Umbrellas.
Yeah, umbrellas would be great, but they are usually not allowed on festivals. So raincoats.
No, because you will poke out the eye.
Oh, so raincoats. Raincoats would be
great. Because umbrellas are not allowed because you will pick out the eye, you poke out the eyes with the
points,
you know,
yeah,
with the umbrellas, yeah, with the pointy things.
So that could definitely help, or maybe like I prefer caps because then I can stay protected from the sun as being sun allergic. That's always a good item to have as well. So yeah, anything that helps with that. Maybe a scarf if it's really, really, really cold. But
Let
me get back to that.
You can wear a scarf all winter, so it's a good
exactly.
It's a good item.
Okay. Mm. Well then what have we been listening to this week? I have a long list. So let me start with
I've got a very long list.
Yeah,
but I
let
do
me
have
start with
things.
A couple and then we switch back and forth. I've been listening to the new single of Black Light Discipline. The Finnish guys have been awake for a while.
Yeah, I remember
their industrial metal craziness yeah, they kind of went away for a bit, and some of the members have been busy with their other projects. Shireen, for example, which is also going to be in Etuska, and they're doing really well at the moment. But here's the single of Russian Roulette. It's a cover from Rihanna, and we know that these guys are really keen on having these kind of 90s vibes covers in their repertoire. They've been really successful with that. So now it's Rihanna. Yeah, I think it's a good cover. It's interesting. It fits their sound well. Only as a fan, I can think I really would have loved to see a single with their own material rather than a cover again.
Especially if it's a long period they've been away. It's nice if they would, you know. But maybe they will blow you away in an upcoming week.
I don't know.
Whatever.
I've asked. Yeah, they wrote me already before the news got out. And I asked them, are you going to release an album? Probably not yet, soon-ish. But then again.
Not yet. You're the positive one.
Then again, they did announce in their newsletters to the press that some new material will be coming later this year. So whether that might be a new singles or an EP or something, I don't know. We'll see. But it's cool to have these guys back, man. I love to have a little chilly, cheerful dance when you go to an after party.
I'm pretty sure we've seen them together a couple of times.
I direct people to my birthday parties during the Tuska after parties thing, and they've been playing there a couple times. So I've been dancing a lot with this band. So yeah, very cool, and I've seen them so many times through the years. So good to see them back. Yeah. Then another band that I haven't heard much from lately, and that's called Night Rage. They're more like extreme death, melodic death kind of sounds. They had a song out called A Throne of Melancholy. And I was listening to it and thinking, gosh, I miss these guys. And this song makes me think like Catamania, which I also miss having around. And yay, I kind of... I'm super happy that this kind of music is coming back. Because, yeah, but it's kind of like feel-good metal. It's happy and still feel-good. I like that. So, yeah.
It's gonna be your genre. Feel-good.
Yeah, but heavy. Like, not... I don't want... Nope.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
heavy feel-good metal.
It has to have some vehemence in it. Because otherwise, most of the time.
Yeah.
So... Give me one of yours, then.
One of mine. Well, last Friday, there was the release of the very first single, or the digital single, how they call it, from the Finnish bass player Olli-Pekka Laine from Amorphis and Barren Earth and Manai. He started a solo thing and gathered a lot of people around him. The band is called Octoploid. I think the album will be out in one day before my birthday, the 5th of July. I can remember that one. And the first single, and if I was the band, maybe I would have picked a different singer for the first one. Because it's Tommy Jautsa from Amorphis. So the link has easily been made, you know? But that's only that reason, definitely not musical or sound-wise. And I have to say, he doesn't sound like Tommy in Amorphis.
Good.
To make it curious for people listening. I see him actually collaborating with a lot of people, because I saw some other bands putting a track out with him. I have not listened that one yet, but he's busy. But back to Octoploid and Opu. I had to listen a couple of times for the song, It's always fun when you see fans directly replying, "Oh, it's amazing, it's fantastic." I usually have to listen to something new a couple of times. And also, I thought it was going to be a little bit more stonery, but it's actually more prog and metal-y, but still it has some nice influences and maybe also some folk influences. And I was really sitting back thinking, okay, is this going to sound like Amorphis? Because, you know, he plays in Amorphis, so and for a very long time. Or maybe Baron Earth, because he's also been teaming up with, and I have to say the name correct, let's check the name, another Tommy, Miko Kotamaki from Swallow the Sun. They've been working together on Baron Earth, so I was also curious if it was going to sound like Baron Earth a bit. I think it has some of the atmospheric layers from Baron Earth. It also has a little bit of, to me, and I told you that already, you know, the way the song is built up, there is this break, and then how the bass and the guitars come in, it does remind me a bit of the way Amorphis is doing that. But it's logical, of course. But I have to say, I had to listen three times, I think, before the song really got me. And now I quite like it, actually. And you have to see, I think you have to see the video they made with it. It's kind of fun, it's kind of trippy. It's a good feel. You have to watch it if you like to have a good feeling. if you haven't already. And it's fun. You will see the fans of Tommy out. He will be dressed up as a hippie.
Well, you got a little bit of that vibe already to me.
Been saying it's gonna have elements from the 90s death and black metal, but also the 70s prog rock, a little bit of psychedelic rock. I think that comes across quite well. And well, the 5th of July will be the release of the full album. I think it will have 8 tracks on it, and I'm actually very curious. So it will be my
birthday
own
gift,
birthday present. Exactly.
Cool. Well, then I have something to follow up on that, since you mentioned Swallow the Sun and that kind of sounds. I've been listening to a duo called The Bleak Picture, and they released an album called Meaningless. And they're doing this melodath doom kind of sounds. Also reminded me a bit to Before the Dawn, but more Black Sun Aeon.
Have they been around for quite a while?
I don't know how long they've been around, but I think this is actually their debut album, but they might have been working together for a while at least. But the name indeed sounds already familiar.
Or maybe it's something with Bleak.
Well, in Finland, you had you did have
I'm
a band in Finland called Bleak, simply Bleak.
Yeah,
no,
but it was
definitely
not that doomish.
It was more pop rock kind of stuff. But also Bleak and Picture together, something rings a bell to me. I cannot say exactly what it was. But at least this band, I liked it. I have to listen a couple more times because I think it sounded good. So maybe not at the level of the bands we've mentioned just yet. But that is something that needs time, of course. But yeah, cool. I like that. Yeah.
They're curious.
Finland.
So where they're from?
Obviously. Oh. That. Then, one band I have been listening to that released a single this week is called Lost Train to Venice. And I had them in my series for Christmas already. I interviewed them when they had only one song out, and now they have a couple more out. They're just releasing songs every once in a while so far. And then,
So how does it sound? I'm really curious.
I don't know. I think for me it's hard to describe because this one is a bit depressive in a way. But also somewhat uplifting. Some of their... They have...
The name of the band, I when you say the what was it called? The Train to... It... I have to think about singer-songwriter.
Yeah, more a bit like that.
And I hear those guitar-y and nice vocal lines and that what comes across in my
I think my that's head. True. Also a bit more like Americana kind of vibes in there. Not completely that, but you can certainly hear some of that in there.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that was just a song that came out this week and I listened a couple times. So I wanted to share that with people so they can go to their YouTube or Spotify account and check it out also. Yeah,
yes,
and for people who want to know more about this band, then you can watch the YouTube video we made in our Christmas series. Yeah, so do you have something more to share? Yeah, always more. Always more.
We want more. Well, I do have some more. Actually, I've been going through something, and I've been listening the last month quite a lot to Nothing More, American band. I think we covered them in November or something. Well, they're like an alternative rock. /metal, band. And they just released, I think 2 days ago, maybe as well, or yesterday, I don't know. Very short. They released their new song, House on Sand, and they gathered up with the vocalist from I Prevail, Eric van Lerbergen. It sounds nice. I've put it up only one time, so I've not yet stepped into it very deep, but I will. I think I listened, I heard it on my in my list, and I checked out the video, because they do have a video with it, of course. So it's really nice. I think that the combination between the vocalist from I Prevail, Eric, it works really well. It's also sometimes a little bit weird when you have two male vocalists. It works really well. And then with the same information that the new track was released, there was also they're working on a new album that's coming out somewhere in the end of June, I believe, if I remember correct. But they will also be teaming up with with the Disturbed vocalist David Dremain, and I'm also quite curious about.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. Curious what they will do with that.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, one of the bands I was also listening to this week, because I'm super excited for this album, and it comes out in June, end of June, and I already got it, so I was like, I need to listen to it now. It's Ill-Disposed. They're Danish death metal formation. They've been around since, I think, 1991 or something, like super long by now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also they, I think their last album was something like maybe 5 years ago. So looking forward to see what they're bringing. I got some tour announcements for, I think, September. I think late September they'll be in Germany and Netherlands and such to do a couple shows. They have this album, The Chambers of Sonic Death, Sonic Disgust, called in end of June in Massacre Records. From what I've heard, I've played it like once. Now it's gonna be exactly what you expect. It's energetic. It's that typical death sound that brings people to energetic movements and festivals. Because I mean, this band is one that always does quite well in life. So yeah, that's one thing that I'm looking forward to see. And I have been listening to a single from a band that I also have the album for, or was it EP to review, in the band name is Malavant. I think they're from Belgium or something, if I remember correctly.
I think I've heard about them.
I don't know, but they released
this
single, Valhalla Calling. What can I say about that? I mean, it's a good song. They executed it well, but it's been done so many times on Instagram Reels and TikTok, whatever, by all these people doing it very impressively, that this one is kind of like one of the many and doesn't stand out. So I don't understand the choice to release this as a single so much.
Yeah.
They should have picked another one to bring out, because now it's just one of the many thousands of people doing this. So that said, I do think they did well, but interesting choice of the single. I am going to look into their release soonish. It's been out a bit already, but work queuing up on my desk. It will come by soon. But yeah, I just checked out the single to see what it is about, like that. Well, did you have more, or nice. Can I continue?
Continue. Okay. Yeah. Of course, I've listened to different kind of things, but nothing new.
Okay. Yeah, I've been listening to Inner Access, and that band I have reviewed quite a couple times through the years. They're on Fastball Records, and they always send me the releases. So I think if I go and look into my archive, I probably have like most of their albums. So now they have this new one called Midnight Forces. It was released in the end of March. And what I usually think of Inner Access is that they're doing good. They're heavy metal. They're, fine, doing good stuff. Always fun to listen to. Does it stand out amongst the many others? Probably not. But the quality is good enough that you can enjoy listening to it anyway. It's not boring or something, but it's also not like, oh my gosh, I never heard this before. So, Inner Access.
Well, that gets a little bit hard, right?
True, but still there's some bands that bring more surprise elements or in their mix than what it is with this one. Yeah, and the last one I have on my list is Lofostok. I think they're from Sweden. They released some album Opus Ferox 2, and then it has, I think, Mark of the Beast behind it as a name. So I think it's probably a trilogy or something. I didn't look into that. So far, so good. I mean, I've heard the band before. That's why I wanted to check out the album quickly to see if it's interesting. And I think I might. If I have the time, I will try and review the album. But in this season of April and May,
it's gonna be
time is eating away from me, and the pile on my desk is large enough, so... Yeah, that's about that. So I hope I have some time to look into them further. But nevertheless, for people who are into that kind of music, I would recommend check it out, because the first impression was good so far. Yeah, that's my list. So we're coming to the end already. And we're a little short of like 1 hour, I think. So wow. We did... keep it a bit shorter this time.
a tiny little bit shorter.
Yeah, but as you heard, we have plenty of new stuff coming up to talk about. And I think there's going to be a couple of cool episodes coming up. So I hope people enjoyed listening to us this time. And leave us a comment if you did.
Yes. And if you have some new music, new music you think we should listen to, please let us know. Point us into certain
definitely.
Directions, because we love new music.
Yeah. So do that. If you're a bassist and you want to be featured in our episodes, let us know. In info@templores.com will always work. And that's it for today. So I'm gonna leave you all with a goodbye.
See you next time.
Bye.
Hear you next time. Bye-bye.